kids that come to our camp, you know, I tell them, I'm like, look, if we're in there to see you, we watch you from the second you get out of your car, the second you get back in your car. You know, we're watching how you treat your parents. We're watching what you do pregame. We're watching what you eat at the concession stand. You know, all those things, they're all important.
No good player has ever said, well, who else is going to be the shortstop? The best players just say, sign who you want. I'm going to beat them, right?
And the other thing for baseball players, if you want to be a great baseball player and play at the highest levels, then be an athlete first.
Hello and welcome to the Coach's Corner podcast, where the coaches hang out with Walter. Today's podcast is brought to you by the Baseball Blue Book. If it has to do with baseball, it has to be in the book. The question for you, are you in the book? Now let's join our host, Walter Beattie.
Hello and welcome. Another edition of Coach's Corner, where each and every Thursday we take the opportunity to speak with college coaches from all levels, all divisions from across the country, and we get their insights and thoughts as it pertains to college baseball, youth baseball, and everything pertaining to the world of college recruiting. And today, I am really excited. This is a coach that I've known for going on almost a couple of decades now, has some New England roots, and we are talking to Kansas State head coach and assistant coach recruiting coordinator, Peter and Thomas Hughes. And Pete, I want to kind of give insight for everyone. We're at Kansas State by way of Trinity, Boston College, Virginia Tech, Oklahoma, and now in Manhattan, Kansas. Thank you for joining us, both Peter and Thomas. Thank you very, very much for joining us today.
Appreciate you having us, Walter. It's thanks for all you do to promote our sport. And, you know, college baseball is at its highest level of play right now. And, you know, so people like you getting preaching it every day and getting people on there to see what we're all about. And so we appreciate the opportunity. We love talking about Kansas State baseball any chance we can. We love to do it.
Well, you know, I have a friend of mine that's an alum of Kansas State, and I just Steve Purdy is his name. I think he played way back when dinosaurs roamed the earth in the mid-80s. But, you know, one doesn't think of top 25, top 30 programs in the country, and before your arrival, Kansas State may not have been on everybody's top of their list. But now, you know, you take a peek and you see that, you know, that success that you're having down there. What was one of the first kind of processes that you took bringing Kansas State back to that forefront, not only within the Big 12, but college baseball as a whole?
Well, when we got hired, you know, it wasn't a very good program, that's for sure. But when I used to come here and play with an opposing team, I always said, what a special college community. You know, it's like, there's only a handful of these in this country where the college is the community and the community is the college. And when you have that, you get a chance to be really special at sports if you resource it. And they had never resourced this place. And I said that's a little hidden gem if they ever decide to resource it. And then a couple of years later, as luck would have it, I needed a job and I got called by Gene Taylor, the athletic director, who had just gotten hired. And he said, I'm about to invest in this program and we're going to build a stadium and put $19 million into your facility. I'm like, is that true? He goes, it's already happening. And, you know, it starts with really good people, really good leaders, like our athletic director, Gene Taylor, is the best in the country. And then it starts with the resources. And to me, I met with Gene for 3 hours on Memorial Day in a Kansas City hotel. And I left that hotel saying, I'm going to work for this guy. We're going to get the baseball right. It's a special community. He built us this beautiful facility to recruit to. Families walk into our facility and say, Kansas State is serious about baseball. And then we just started recruiting. You know, we flipped the roster and I hired great people to be around me, and we go out and we sell ourselves as people. It's integrity first. It's family first. It's you walk into a community that's unlike very few in this country, and then you see phenomenal baseball facilities, and then you get good players, and then you get some street credibility, you know. And we're starting to get kids drafted. We get first rounders. We get kids on Team USA. All that good stuff, you know. But it's been great. It's, you know, like you said, I've been all over the place. I've been to 4 Power 5 universities, and this has been the most enjoyable and really the stop along the way that has the highest upside of being great in college baseball and sustainable.
And so, Thomas, I have – this is a unique perspective because, A, you've played at Oklahoma and obviously Kansas State. The guy you played for is your dad, and now you get to coach with your dad. What is that like, being almost like you know the Big 12 inside and out, but you also know your head coach inside and out? How is that as an experience as a coach?
Yeah, it's definitely something that I try not to take for granted. Getting to work with him every day, it's pretty special. Not just, like you said, playing for him, but now coaching with him. But to me, it's, you know, I've been in the dugout with him since I was 5-6 years old. So it's kind of almost normalcy at this point, I guess. But again, it's something that I try not to take for granted, because I know how, you know, fortunate the position I am in to be with him every day, and you know, not just working with him on a daily basis, but, you know, at the level that we're at too is pretty unique, I think, and pretty special. But,
and I know you have a younger brother that's on the roster, and you have other brothers and your sister, but they must, as a community, did you guys embrace Manhattan as a family, once you arrived on campus?
Yeah, it was, I mean, this place, you step on campus, you step in the community, and you know right away that it's pretty special. Every place you go, you know, you drive two houses down, you see a Kansas State flag, and then another two houses down, there's a Kansas State mailbox. And it's probably the most, you know, community family-based place that we've been along, because like he said and you said, we've been pretty much everywhere following him around and every part of the country. And, you know, this place is really special. And, you know, like I said, once we got here for his interview to kind of accept the job, you kind of know right away that it's a different place. It's special. And, you know, whether it's me, it's my brothers, my mom, you know, everyone's kind of taken into this community and just absolutely loved it. And they've done the same with us. And it's hard not to fall in love with it, to be honest with you.
You know, one look at your roster collectively, you can definitely see, you know, what I call the Peter Hughes effect. You know, there's a lot of different states represented, but also Canada. And so we have a lot of followers and a lot of families in the Great White North that always talk about, do college programs in the United States really value? Do they look up here in Canada? Talk a little bit about all of the states. I mean, you have Tennessee, Minnesota, Kansas, New Hampshire, Connecticut. You know, you have a lot of states represented, but also Canada. So from a recruiting perspective, what type of student athlete captures your attention, whether it's Thomas or Peter, you know, when your staff goes out to recruit?
Well, first of all, we look at great players and great people. And I do think that we can recruit nationally here and internationally. I think Kansas State's name is that much of a brand name to do that. And the challenge, Walter, is to get these people on our campus. And as soon as they come to our campus, they all say the same thing. I had no idea this is what Kansas State would look like and feel like. But we don't like back ourselves into a corner recruiting wise. We go all over the place. We go where our network takes us. We go where there's good baseball players. Canada, you mentioned Canada. I've been recruiting Canada and Canadian kids since I was an assistant at Northeastern University. And I've had a relationship with the national coach, Greg Hamilton, who's the number one baseball expert in all of Canada. And his word is gold with me, and it always has been. So that relationship is strong and true. And we've seen the benefits of that in our program today. But we'll go cover that T12 every fall, you know, and these Canadian kids, like New England kids, have giant upside. They're tough. They never take anything for granted. They know when they come out and they practice in on our field in this beautiful facility outside in January and February, you know, it is a privilege to do that because they're not used to that. So they came here to make a jump and to get to the professional level and to have a great experience. So we love Canadian kids. We love New England kids. The state of Texas has been great to us. We're never going to stray away from our home state of Kansas in this region. You know, there are kids that were born wearing purple that want to wear this Cats uniform. So we are going to look at those kids first. They play, they're emotionally invested. So we've always gone all over the place, but we never stray away from our network. And, you know, Thomas is doing more of the evaluation now. I'm doing less and less. You know, the landscape has completely changed recruiting wise over the last 3 years on how we're doing things, and college baseball has gotten older, but we will not shy away from recruiting the high school kids still, because this is look at our best players in our program right now, Brady Day, Kalen Culpepper, you know, these guys are all came from the high school ranks. So we still have to do our due diligence, but pay attention to the portal world for sure.
You know, you touch on the game getting older. And so, Thomas, I'd love for you to, you know, when I'm talking with parents or families in general, I try to get them to understand that the landscape has changed. And it's not just COVID driven. It's just collectively the sport as a whole has changed from MLB all the way into the college ranks. Talk a little bit about, you know, being an older roster now collectively across college baseball requires high school athletes not only to be more physical, but to have a baseball IQ, like to be ready when your feet hit campus to understand you're competing against men. And this is not the time to be neglecting the minutia of baseball, meaning knowing how to run bases, knowing game situation with regard to hitting and fielding and so forth. Talk a little bit about when you're out recruiting not only high school athletes, but within the portal, you know, what type of total package are you looking for with athletes at this stage?
Yeah, we always say, you know, the biggest jump from high school to college that we see is, or the biggest adjustment is the mental side of it. You know, we always say, you know, if you weren't good enough or gifted enough physically, we wouldn't have recruited you in the first place. But now all of a sudden to get to that next level, to be able to compete at the highest level, like you said, with all these 22 to 24 year olds, the mental side comes in. And, you know, a lot of times kids are at a disadvantage now with showcase baseball, and, you know, there's time limits on games and no one's playing to win anymore. You're playing to, you know, for your own stats. And now, you know, they come in at a disadvantage because you're not playing to win the game or playing, you know, trying to get that extra edge on the mental side. And, you know, that's the hardest part for us. But it's also something that sticks out the most because of it now. So when you go watch a game, you can tell those kids that have the intangibles, the kids that do, that are picking up on the little things or trying to, you know, pick up on a pitcher's rhythm or cadence and when they can try to steal and stuff like that. But those things stick out, and it's, you know, it's something we look for when we're out evaluating too, is, yeah, you can hit the ball really far, you can throw the ball really hard, you know, but can you do the little things? Can you understand that, okay, this kid's having trouble landing his breaking ball, so we're just going to eliminate that pitch in this at-bat or the next at-bat? And little things like that are things that stick out more, especially at the high school level, when you go to those showcases where it is a two-hour time limit and, you know, sometimes, you know, winning gets lost in the shuffle a little bit. But that's for us the biggest adjustment we see that kids have to make when they get to our level is everyone we recruit is gifted enough to play in the Big 12 right away physically, but do they have that mental side is kind of the trickier part.
Yeah, I so agree with that, Thomas. That's a great explanation. And I hope parents really kind of focus on what you just said about the mental capacity and the mental side of the sport. I think we've kind of lost our way with regard to coaching and teaching that. You know, one of the dynamics of college baseball, every time we talk to, you know, high school athletes or families, it's always P5, P5, P5. And I try to get them to understand there's really no such thing anymore as Power Five. You know, it's kind of the Pac-12 is blended in with the Big Ten and the Big 12. The ACC and SEC are kind of, Peter, you've been around the game a long time with regard to, you know, the Boston College, Virginia Tech, Oklahoma, Kansas State. Where do you see the sport going with regard to, you know, the conference realignments? And is it really good for the sport? Meaning, are we going to see a professional conference versus an Olympic conference? You know, Olympic meaning mid-majors versus the professional division of college sports, big television contracts. Is that coming, in your opinion?
Well, if it's going to be definitive, who knows? But it will happen. It's already happening. It's the haves and the have-nots, you know, with the NIL. It's already happening, you know. And as far as conference expansion, I think it's great for college baseball, to be honest with you. I mean, I love seeing these West Coast teams coming out and playing some in uncomfortable conditions, and, you know, which we grew up in. So in college baseball, it's like no other sport. You know, there's so many factors geographically, like weather really factor into everything. So this kind of blends all that together and really levels off the playing field. I don't think it's great for like Stanford to be in a plane every other weekend and UCLA and USC playing a Big Ten schedule, and these kids are flying all over the country. I mean, so we talk about student athlete welfare when it comes to the academics, and throw that out the window. You know, it's we're putting a strain on these kids academically. But as far as college baseball and the brand, it's going to be the haves and the have-nots. And college baseball is unbelievable right now. You know, we faced a kid last weekend who's 25 years old. You know, that's a grizzled vet, left-hander. Cool. You know? So it's crazy. You know, 23-year-olds running around. Kids are leaving the Big 12 and they're in the big leagues 2 years later. You know, so that's how good our level of play is, and that's why professional baseball has disbanded all their lower levels of minor league baseball, because we're doing such a great job at developing for them. You know, to leave the Big 12 and to be in the big leagues 2 years later as a positional player, as our kid Jordan Wicks, 2 years, you know, he's from the Cubs rotation. You know, so West Virginia had, you know, their right fielder is going to start for the Cardinals, you know, in center field this week. So he was playing at Toynton Stadium against us 2 years ago. So it's at its highest level. But I do think, to answer your question, yeah, it's already happening. There's going to be two separate divisions.
Thomas, when you're talking with the high school family, a prospective student athlete, you know, a lot of what Peter just discussed, I think sometimes it doesn't get heard enough by parents that the sport is older. The sport has changed. You know, it's no longer just go do a showcase, go do travel ball, and then go to college. There's a lot more to the entire process. But talk a little bit about that maturity that's going on within college baseball, that high school players at 18, they have a lot of catching up to do, but they have to let their bodies mature, but they need to be prepared to compete against men when their feet hit campus.
Yeah, no doubt. And kind of the biggest thing that we hit on with, you know, with families, like you said, it's finding the right fit. Not just whether it's, you know, the people involved, the correct place, if you want to be closer to your family or whatever else you have in mind, it has to be the right fit, whether it's with us or with somebody else. And, you know, everyone, like you had mentioned, everyone's talking about Power Five and wants to go, especially if it expands into kind of the two conferences, like you said. Well, when you leave high school now and you might not have that Power Five opportunity, your dream to be a Power Five athlete isn't over, right? Where the biggest thing we tell our guys is, look, you need to go somewhere where you're going to be able to get on the field and play every day. Because if you don't get on the field and play every day, you're not going to be able to reach the potential or get any better as a baseball player. I mean, you look at, you know, our opening day starter went and played at Division III school in Minnesota, and now he's second team all Big 12 throwing on opening day for us, and our most reliable guy right now in our rotation. If he had gone somewhere because he was so caught up in going to a Power 5 and sat on the bench and didn't pitch for 3 or 4 years, would he have gotten to where he is now? Probably not. But that's what the biggest thing for us is, you know, everyone wants to get caught up in playing in a Power 5 and playing in a Power 5 where if it doesn't happen for you out of high school, that dream isn't over yet, right? It's about finding a place where you can go and get on the field and get better. And that's why, you know, you're seeing junior colleges and Division 2 and Division 3 schools get even better and better and better. And, you know, our starting third baseman is, you know, Southern New Hampshire University, a pretty good program. You know, he came and like he's 22, 23 years old and fit right into our lineup and is playing great for us every day.
Well, that's because you know, Southern New Hampshire is like a hidden jewel. I think Chris Shank is now the head coach, having taken over for Scotty. But, you know, I tell parents all the time throughout the country, Eastern Connecticut, Southern Maine, Salve Regina, they got guys that are playing at BC. They're all over the country that are leaving those Division III schools and playing at the, you know, some of the bigger Division I conferences. And that's because they had a college resume to start. And so, Peter, I would love for you to convey to people what Manhattan, Kansas, with regard to, you know, from the, how do we want to get student athletes on campus? Is it a camp? Do you want to get, how do you want these families to contact Thomas or yourself? You know, do you want them to just get into a camp environment? Do you want to see some video? What's the best way for a potential student athlete to get in front of your staff?
Well, you know, recruiting for the last how many years, and then, you know, going through the recruiting process with four sons, I can give you the dad and I can give you the coach perspective of that.
Dad, talk to us about dad as dad, because you and I both have been there.
Yep, we have. And we've done it in our house four different times. And I tell people this, go to a couple showcases, you know, don't go on the showcase tour. I don't know if anyone's finances can facilitate that these days, right? So,
right.
Be able to self-evaluate, and I'm talking to the student athlete now, and sometimes that's the biggest hurdle, but it's also the most important hurdle. As soon as that kid can say, you know what, I'm better than that kid and he's having success at that level, or I'm not better than that guy and he's not playing at that school, so here's the right fit for me. As soon as you get the right fit academically, and then once you self-evaluate what level you can play at, go to two or three schools, get in front of that staff at a camp. That's the best evaluations we can get when we're around a kid for a couple of days, and we can cater his workout to what we want, and we can really see his skill set. That's the best way. That's what I did with my kids. Yeah, you're going to play on a travel team. We're going to go to a couple different showcases just so you can get a feel for that, because that's what the landscape is, whether we like it or not. But you're going to go to three different camps, three different schools, and get in front of that staff. And so I would say this, if you're interested in Kansas State, if you're not, if you come to our campus and our school and our camp, you will be, I promise you. But that's the best way for you to get evaluated by our staff. Get in front of us for a couple of days. Yeah, sure. Send us some video. Send us your summer schedule. We're everywhere. We'll see you. But if we really want to get a great evaluation of you, you come to a camp. We can go watch you at Lake Point for 3 days and you'll never get a ground ball hit to you, right?
Right.
Or someone's not going to throw a strike to you. But we can watch you take a BP. We can give you 100 ground balls. You know, we can watch you run. We can know your personality. You can sell yourself in front of us. That's the best. That's what I did with all my kids. And but it doesn't happen, Walter, if you don't have a student athlete that cannot self-evaluate, right? I was going to be the next Heisman Trophy quarterback at Boston College. I was Doug Flutie. I was the next short Heisman Trophy. And as soon as I realized I was not going to be that, my process got real easy for me, and I realized where I needed to go and where I was going to fit.
I think self-evaluation is the least discussed dynamic of recruiting. I think we've been you know, overwhelmed by analytics and metrics, and we think that's the key that opens the golden door. But at the end of the day, you know what, as a student athlete, you know what you're good at and where you're deficient. And you have to understand, how do your skill sets measure up? So, I mean, that's an absolutely gold answer from an elite college baseball coach. And so I would love for you collectively, as father or son, to kind of end this discussion. What do you think is the least understood from a parent's perspective? And I'm not looking at it from a negative perspective, but what do you wish more parents understood about college baseball that might be not talked about enough, or the lack of awareness or education? What do you think that would be?
Good, Mus.
I mean, I think it's a lot of stuff that, you know, we've kind of hit on already. Is, you know, the landscape is so different now. It's, you know, it's not what it used to be. And
expand on that, Thomas, because when I say this to parents, they think I'm in today's world throwing shade on their, and I'm, you are nailing this. And I really want to emphasize, it is not solely due to COVID. This is not a COVID, okay, in another year, it's going to go away and we're going to go back to 2017 with recruiting. The baseball is different. So really nail that point so parents can hear this.
Yeah, I mean, like it's not at all because of COVID, and it's going to keep happening, whether it's, you know, grad transfers for kids that redshirt, whether they're redshirting because they're not playing, they're redshirting because of injury. That extra year is always going to be there for a lot of kids, and so it's going to keep getting older and older. So when you look at a kid that says, hey, I want to go play at a Power 5, I want to go play at a Power 5, but he might not be there fully physically or mentally, right? He can go to a Division II school, go to a SNU, go to a, you know, Salve Regina, like you had said, get better, get much better, go play in summer leagues, you know, with other kids in Power 5s, kind of get himself to measure himself up against those kids, see where he fits in, kind of like my dad had pointed out, being able to self-evaluate, give you sort of a measuring tool. Right. And then if he feels like, OK, at the end of his 3 or 4 years at that school, he wants to go test out the Power 5. Now you're able to. And with that comes the increased age in college baseball. And, you know, we had talked about it a little bit, but the disbanding of a lot of those minor league teams, too. Right. And it's not a 40-round draft anymore. Right. The draft has been cut in half. And so all of those players, instead of getting drafted and signing in the 17th, 18th round, like a Brady Day who could have signed in the 12th round, or, you know, a Ty Rule, who's our number two arm right now, those guys probably sign in a 40-round draft, or you know, they're more inclined to. Whereas now they're coming back to play for us and give themselves another chance to go inside of 10, which Brady is playing himself in that position. But, you know, the draft in professional baseball being much different now, too, has a lot to do with the increased age, like you said, where it's not just COVID. It's there's those factors as well.
Yeah, there's 20 rounds of pro baseball draft that don't exist anymore that is getting dumped back into college baseball. For instance, we had two freshmen play in our series. There were two freshmen on the field this past weekend at Houston. 2 weekends ago, there was one freshman playing on the field the whole weekend. So you know what? The junior college route is a viable option. And for the academic snobs, which I am, from a New England guy, right? I went to Boston College High School. I'm NESCAC, born and bred, Hamilton College. So go to a PG year is a great option for these kids.
Oh, Pete, talk to us now, because now we're talking – you and I are from the same cloth. And so when I tell parents about post-grad, I tell them it's not IMG. I'm not talking about a baseball academy. Yep. I'm talking about the Andovers, Exeter's, Winchington, Avon Old Farms. But talk a little bit about that. PG is a big deal now in college baseball.
Now, there's some finances involved, right?
So, oh, yeah.
You know, certain places can get creative, is a good way to put it, to help that out with some families, you know, but those places are great, and they have some really good baseball people, specifically in New England, that are developing kids at a high level. But you just let maturity do it for a year. You know, if kids, that's a huge jump from high school year to that first year of wherever you go physically. So these kids have a year to grow physically. They're around really good baseball people. They're around super high academic people. You know, so you're growing academically, you're growing physically, you're growing on at a baseball level. And now you're ready to go out there and compete against 22, 23 year olds. That's going to become a great option. You are, it's already really good right now, the PGs in New England, and it's going to get even better and better, you know, with what's going on with our sport and our level, because the average age, you know, we said it a million times here, it's about 22 years old running around. You don't see high school freshmen playing every day. You do not. And the only way we recruit somebody is if Thomas or our other recruiters go out, they'd look at one thing. Can he play for us? Will he have a role as soon as he steps on campus? And if the answer is no, then we do not recruit the high school kid. There's just too many options in the portal. And honestly, we're going to get beat if we don't go that route. That's just where we're at in the Big 12 and, you know, the ACC, the SEC, that's the Pac-12. That's where we're at. And parents have to see that, and that there's just going to be a different road for kids to matriculate to this level of baseball.
I am absolutely just, I love the fact that you broached that topic, because I am out here, you know, telling parents about post-grad, and everybody looks at me like I have three heads. It's going to become an integral part of college baseball over the next few years. And I'm glad that you were able to share your thoughts on that. And I, you know, the biggest thing I want to share with parents is this. I have known Peter for several decades as a college coach, as a human being, you know, as a dad living in New England. You know, we follow Boston College and then ultimately Virginia Tech and Oklahoma. We have some mutual friends, Coach Pinzino. If you're a parent and you're a student athlete and you're really seeking out quality life mentors, and oh, by the way, a heck of a baseball guy, you want to be around the Hughes family, you know, particularly Thomas and Peter. And obviously I know Dom is there now, but as a parent, you really want to start to consider not only Big 12 as a baseball conference, but Kansas State as a baseball school. And guys, I can't thank you enough. I just happened to randomly see Thomas across a Twitter feed, and I said, I got to get with those guys real quick. So guys, I really appreciate your time during the season. Best of luck throughout the rest of the season, and obviously regionals and the supers as well.
Thanks for reaching out, Walter. We appreciate all you do for college baseball.
Well, I appreciate that. And Peter, anything that you guys ever need, Thomas, please feel free to reach out. Parents, I encourage you to subscribe, like today's video if you found any definitive great information that you can use. If you have questions for either Thomas or Peter, go ahead and leave them below. I'll make sure I forward them over to both of the coaches. Thank you for watching.